Tonight, I want to start the first of a three-part series on your calling. And so often as Christians, we think that the only people that are called are people that are called into ministry. But the thing is that God calls everyone into service for Him. There is a calling, there is a ministry, there is a work or multiple works that we all have been given before time has begun. That God has decided in His mind when He created you that you are specifically on the earth for a purpose. And that's what we're going to look at tonight is you have a purpose in life and God has great plans for you. What you do in life, it matters. What you do in life, it matters. There are people that I've talked to as Christians that they don't think that really whatever they do really makes any difference in the kingdom of God. And that's not true. In the kingdom of God, we are all to be examples, to be helps, to be people of light that are knowledgeable about the things of God and to proclaim that either by our actions or if we have to, by our words. To tell people there is a God and He is calling you to Himself. And if you're interested, I'm more than willing and happy to talk to you about the God that I serve. You know that God, from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve's time, from the fall of man, has been reconciling Himself, all mankind. That's what He's been doing. That's the work, one of the works that He's been doing since Adam and Eve, is that He has been calling people back to Himself. And we see in our day and age, and it's no different in our day and age than it was in Adam and Eve or Noah's day and age, that people reject God, that they go as far away from God as they can. They don't care that there is a God. They don't care if there's not a God, that they make up their own gods, that they make up their own ways of living, and that they end up dying apart from God. And we know as Christians that if you die apart from God, that you're not reconciled to God, that God says, fine, if you decide in life that you reject me, then I'm going to let you live eternity without me. You've made a choice, you've made a decision in life, and I'm going to honor that decision, and you will live forever outside of my presence. Now, we know that none of mankind wants to live outside of the presence of God. When you look outside and you see the blue skies and you see the pretty sunshine, or maybe you see rain falling, maybe you see snow, whatever it may be, the nature that you see, God has created it all. And it was in His good time and in His good pleasure that He created everything that we see in the universe. Every endeavor that mankind continues to go out and to search the universe, search the stars, saying, is there other life out there? We're curious, is there somebody else out there? And I'm sure one of these days we'll find out one way or the other. But God says, what the real question should be is, who made all this? Who put the stars in place? Who spins the planets on their axis? Who makes the sky blue? Who makes the oceans wet? How did all this happen? Now, man will come up with a physical answer, which is correct, but they miss the bigger question. They see it, the scientists see it, just simply as trying to explain the mechanism in which it occurred, in which it was created. They missed the question of, is there a person, is there a personality that creates these things? That is where God, again, calls all of us to Himself. You've been born into a world that is in desperate need for the light that we call the light of Christ. Now, as Christians, we know when we talk about the light of Christ, it is the light that of truth that illuminates the darkness of deceit and lies. In that purpose that you've been born into, this world that you've been born into, Jesus says you are the light of the world as Christians, and to let your light shine. So Jesus is telling us very plainly, you have a purpose on this planet for the time that you're here. And who knows, from the time that we leave this planet, what the purpose will be for eternity. We don't know yet. But we do know that God will continue to use us to do the work that he has begun. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want you to just look at that verse just a little bit. For we, he's talking about Christians, people that are in Christ, for we are God's workmanship. In other words, God created you just like he wants you to be. You know, so many people in life will say, I wish I had different color eyes, I wish I had different color hair, I wish I wasn't so short, I wish I wasn't so tall, I wish I wasn't so skinny, I wish I wasn't so fat, I wish I was a different color, whatever it is. We're never satisfied with how God has created us. But God creates us. Well, let me give you a good example of Scripture. During Jesus' time, the disciples saw a man that was crippled and lame from birth. And the Jews believed, not just in Jesus' time, but even prior to that time, if you had any kind of malformity, that it was a curse from God upon you. And that was a prevailing thought. And they said, who sinned? This man that is laying here lame, that's been born that way, or his parents? And Jesus corrects them and he says, neither. You don't understand what you're asking. You're asking the wrong question, because this man has been created this way to glorify God. And it is for a purpose in time and a purpose in life. And that purpose had come. That this man, even though he had been lame, and that is definitely a problem, but even though he had been born lame, he had been under the assumption himself, and he probably had thought himself, Lord, why have you cursed me? Why? What have I done? What have my parents done? That's bound to have been the questions going through his mind. And God himself is saying, he's not cursed. He's been made this way to glorify me. We have a hard time understanding glory in things that are broken. But let me tell you, folks, broken pots spill more water. Broken pots spill more water. We're all broken pots. The more broken we are, the more water, the living water, we spill on the world around us. We are made to glorify God. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're created in Christ Jesus. You know, we when we go under the baptismal waters and are come back up, if you want to think of it that way, and I'm not talking about baptism or regeneration either, but I'm just saying as a point of reference, we are made new in Christ. The old is no longer who we are in God's eyes, in God's sight. What we are now is just like Jesus, flaws and all. Jesus didn't have flaws. We still have flaws, and we all know it. Brother Larry mentioned it this morning, that we tend to look at our failures and bemoan the failures, and yet God sees Christ and Christ alone in us, in all that we are and all that we do. And he's changing us from glory to glory. But we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we know that we're here to work and to do good works. I want you to think about what a good work is. What do you think in your mind whenever you hear this scripture, to do good works? What does that mean? Don't talk, pastor. Let the congregation speak. What does it mean to do good works?
Spread the word of God.
That's definitely a wonderful, great work. And it's probably the primary work. What else? What else in your mind is to do good? Because it says works. It says plural.
Love.
To love? Love your neighbors as you love yourself? What are some other good works that we do or are called to do?
Support our church.
Support the brethren. Support the sistren. Feed the needy. Okay. What other good works do we do? Sing at the nursing home. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're bringing joy and the gospel message to people that need to hear.
It is amazing.
Yeah. What other good works do we do? Some other good works. It should just be pouring off of your head. All right, so when we give freely of our time.
Around here, around our church.
Okay.
You know,
all right, so whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, helping around here. The
facility. Okay, all right, yes. Yeah. So we have been created in advance by God through Christ Jesus to do good works. And it's been those good works have been prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to think about that. The good works that you will do and are doing and will do, it's already been decided in advance. Why don't you think about that? God's already decided it beforehand. In Jeremiah, God says, I knew you before you were born or conceived in your mother's womb. I knew you. So in advance, God, we don't know how far in advance. Maybe it's to eternity. Right? We don't know. But God has decided for each person in this room, each person that's listening to my voice, that you have been created specifically for good works, and he's already decided what the good works are. He's already has an agenda for you. So, what is it, and how can we find what our purpose is on the earth? You are created, number one, to know God. It's kind of how I started out tonight. One purpose in life is to get close to God, and you can do this through Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Again, going back to Paul's verse in Ephesians, we're God's workmanship created in Christ, born again in Christ. Jesus says, I am the bread of life in John 6:35. In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So it is, first of all, your purpose on the earth has to center around knowing God. That you are created to know and fellowship with God. Let me just stop there for a second because I think that's something that you have to kind of center in your heart. Whenever, if someone was to ask you, why did God create you? Would your first answer be to know and fellowship with him? He created me for his pleasure, to know him. That's why he created me. Does that sound kind of narcissistic? Yeah, I'm special. But that's truth. That is the truth. That God created each individual in this room tonight, as you look around at each of us, that each of us were created specifically for God's pleasure, His pleasure. Now, if you're created for God's pleasure, I'm going to pick on you for a second. I know how you love that. Paula makes God laugh all the time. I guarantee you that there are belly laughs in heaven for the things that Paula says and does. It's her personality. She makes me laugh, and I guarantee you that God is pleased so much of the time with the laughs that he gets from her. Now, when we think about that, that's kind of different, isn't it? And yet, here we are here on the earth, and we are created in God's own image. And in God's creation, he made us to, in his image, to fellowship with him so that we could relate and fellowship with God. Well, we make each other laugh. We tell jokes. We, however our personalities are in life. And we do things that endear us one to another. How much more when God does whatever, however God does it, all right, however God makes us, you know, he says it and he thinks it or whatever it is, and then we're created, all right? And he gives us personality. He gives us the look that we have. And it is his pleasure that he's created us just for him. So when you sit down with the Lord, think about sitting down with someone that knows you better than you know yourself, because he has made you. He made you just like you are. You know, a lot of times we think, nah, situations in my life have made me like I am. Nah, things that my upbringing, my education, my interests, and all this kind of stuff, that has made me who I am. That would be the secular person saying that. The Christian should say, the way I am genetically, the way that I am personality-wise, the way that I am in terms of my interests in life, motorcycling, you know, whatever it may be. All of those things were given to me specifically by God. It just didn't happen by accident. And so often we think that it's just simply incidental that we are created and there's no rhyme or reason to it, and yet God has very much a purpose and a system in which he creates each of us. And how different is everyone in this room? How different are we all in this room? There's none of us that's alike. We don't look alike. We don't talk alike. We don't think alike. You can talk now.
A focus to remember on each of us as being individually created by God. Whatever he created us for, he gave us the ability to do it.
Amen.
It was all a great gift. Mm-hmm. So when a person says, I don't know what I'm here for, look at the gifts that God has given you. Whatever it is, that's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, speaking of our interests, our abilities, and we say, well, that's just, I've always been that way. I've always, some people are just naturally athletic. Some people are naturally artistically creative. Some people are great orators. They have a way with words, you know, great writers. You know, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus fed the 5,000, and then they came back the next day for more food, and then he began to talk about, you come because you got fed, and that's what you're coming back for. And one of the things he says is to do the work of God, to do the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. Now, he's referring to himself. He's saying, if you believe in me, is to believe. And he's saying it as an active verb. To believe is also to be obedient. Because if you believe what Jesus says, if you believe that who he is who he says he is, then you're going to obey what he says to do. When Jesus says, I want you to have mercy, and I want you to show compassion, and I want you to love above all else, the unlovable, the people that are your enemies, I want you to love them. And whenever he says these things, and he says, if you do my commands, if you do what I command you, then you truly love me. And if you truly love me, you truly love the Father, because if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. So yes, it is doing the work of God is always believing that Jesus is who he says he is, and that is by de facto that we are going to obey what Jesus says to obey. You're also created for God's glory. One purpose in life is to glorify God in this world. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7 says this, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." We've already kind of touched on this a little bit, that we've been, that God created us for his pleasure, but also for his glory. I want you, whenever we're up in the sanctuary on Sunday morning and we're singing, and I say, you know, at the end of the songs, give glory and praise to God. Give him glory. What do y'all think about when I say, I mean, I know we clap, we shout and all this kind of stuff, but what do you think that that actually means, to give God glory? Whenever we say, give God the glory. Now, in Jesus' day, when Jesus was questioned by the high priest Caiaphas, high priest said, give God glory. And that meant, tell the truth. That's what the high priest was getting at. He said, give God glory. He's talking about, tell the truth. But when we talk about giving God glory, and you listen to what Isaiah says, that call my children from the ends of the earth, whom I have created for my glory. All right? And he's talking about this gathering that's yet to come. And we talk about the second coming of Christ, this gathering of Christians, this gathering of God believers throughout the world, whom I've created for my glory. What kind of glory do we give God while we are on the earth? What kind of glory do we give him? Do we not give him glory in terms of proclaiming the gospel? Is that not giving God glory? We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that there is a way that God has made through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus to be absolved from our sins, to have it wiped out, to be made new, to be rid of that guilt. And we believe that that is for all men who put their faith and trust in Jesus to do the work that he has done, that he has already done that work. Is that not giving glory to God when we say we believe that? This is what we believe? Are other ways that we glorify God on the earth? How do you glorify God in your life? How do you think you glorify God? You know, so, and I can see the looks on your face, and you're like, you know, I've never thought about that. Or, I don't know if we glorify God. Yes, go ahead, Larry.
When you pray, isn't that glorifying God?
Sure it is.
You know, I mean, we sit down to the table, we always say a prayer.
Yeah.
And to me, that's glorifying God.
Yes, because
that's what they say. And it's there. We should give thanks.
Yeah. You're giving God, in a sense, his due. And you're acknowledging, you know,
that there is a God.
That's absolutely true, that there is a God. But more than that, we acknowledge, Lord, we know that this comes from you. You know, how often does mankind, any place you go, everything I have, I earned it.
Well, most people say that.
Right?
Self-made man.
Yeah. You know, everywhere, you know, you'll go and you'll hear people talk about, well, I made myself, I earned this, I did that. It's always about I. Well, what about that God gave you the ability to create the wealth that you've created, that God gave you the knowledge, that God gave you the drive to do the things that you're doing, that you're able to create that wealth in your life. What about the fact that God created everything that's in the world? There is nothing in the world that hasn't been created by God. Man hasn't created anything. All man does is put stuff together that's already here. But it is God and God alone that gives us the food, gives the air, the water to grow the food, the good earth to make it work.
You think you should say it before you do something? I'm going to give God the glory, or do it and then say, I gave it.
Well,
either way.
Either way. I mean, you're still, and that would really be for everybody else. You know, you're that's for their benefit. It's like when Jesus prayed, and he says, Lord, I know you always hear me, but I'm praying for these other people out here that they can hear to see the glory that's about to happen. You know, the things that's about to come down. That's for their benefit. So, yes, you know, whenever you'll see athletes do this. And I think that the by and large, most of the athletes that do these things, I think that they're sincere. Whether it doesn't matter what kind of athlete they are, they'll do a play, they'll score, whatever it is, and then they give God glory. That's giving God glory. You know, a lot of people would say, that's cliche. It is not cliche because they don't have to do that. The majority of athletes do not do that. Those people are believers and they're honoring God. They're honoring God with the talents that God has given them, and they're giving God glory in that. So, that's something that you need to think about. How do you glorify God? How do you glorify God in your life? Because most of our lives are just simply the small everyday things that's just linked together over and over and over, and they tend to be repetitive in our life. And yet, God uses that to glorify himself. He uses those small moments that you do something out of the ordinary. That you show kindness, that you show compassion, that you show love, that you do things that Christ would have done if he had been there, and you do those instead. Is that not giving glory to God in the day-to-day things that we do? And yet, so often we give it little importance in our life. You're created to praise God. The purpose in life, one purpose in life is to praise and worship God. Psalm 86:9 says, all the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. Well, how many of the nations on the earth today would say, God made us? But here the psalmist is saying, all the nations you have made. He's implying that every nation on the earth is created by God. That it wasn't an accident that people of like mind, that people of a particular talent perhaps, came together and began forming what we call a nation. They think we did it ourselves. You know, look at the United States. The United States, you'll have people, if you ask people today, do you think that God created the nation of the United States of America? What do you think that the majority of answers would be? Yes, the majority of answers would probably be no. If you asked a Christian today, let me ask you that. If you asked a Christian today, in your opinion, what do you think the answer would be? Would it be, yes, God created the United States of America, or no, he did not? You think that he would say no? A lot of Christians would say no?
Yeah, I think a lot would.
Why would you say no?
Well, why would you say no? Why do you think that they would say no, Larry?
Because of what's going on around today. You know, I just don't believe that people are strong enough in their belief to stand up and say, oh, God created this nation. Well, this nation was founded by our forefathers, and they put it in a constitution about that. You know, that's what most people would say today. They wouldn't take it back and say, God is the one that created this nation. God created everything. And we have to realize that and give glory to him for that.
Yeah, 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 Pat. Oh, I thought I heard something back here. Okay.
I don't say that because the forefathers came, supposedly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they formed what they thought was Christian-like. So I think he planted this United States
for a free country.
Well, something along that line.
That's not what they're teaching in school now. My grandsons went to East, and they're teaching over there that Columbus was a bad guy.
Because he displaced the Indians, maybe. Something like that.
He took some slaves back. And, I mean, today it's all about America's bad. That's what they're teaching in school, so much of it now.
The Lord must have been around to advance them the way they did. We have advanced as a free nation. But I know they made a lot of mistakes. But I still think the Lord meant for this to be a free country.
I believe that.
Yeah. Okay. You're created to praise God. Psalm 86:12 says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. You know, one of the images in the Bible that excites me is in Revelation. And it's actually, you see this image a few times in Revelation, and it's the image of all of the saints and all of the angels surrounding the throne of God. And you hear, hallelujah, our God reigns. You know, that is such a exciting image for me that I know that we'll all be a part of. We'll all be those saints with those angels. We'll be those saints. And we're going to be there. And can you imagine the reverberation of that hallelujah? I mean, John the Revelator says it was like the sound of many waters, like the sound of thunder. How loud it was. The praise that the people were giving God in his sanctuary. If we're going to be doing that in heaven, and we're going to be shouting hallelujahs and praise God and all manner of superlatives to God. We're going to be shouting it, all right? Why would we not start today? Why would we not start while we're here? Because I'll tell you why. Because people look at you and say, man, they're crazy. Those people are crazy. Well, I would rather be crazy for God than crazy for a country, crazy for a world that doesn't believe that there is a God. I want to honor my God in every way that I can. And if that means to be loud, I'm going to be loud. You hear me every Sunday. I've always seen what the music guy does, the music minister. That ministry to me has always been a cheerleading position. That's how it's always been in my mind. You should be a cheerleader for God. Get the people worked up and then let the pastor loose on them. That's how it should go. All right, let's look at the next thing. You are created to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, whenever you say fruit of the Spirit, a lot of Christians, I think that their eyes kind of roll back in their head and they're like, oh, here we go. We're going to get into that Christian talk. Well, we need to get into the Christian talk, all right? One purpose in life is to grow in character. Now, we got everyone in here is character, right? Every one of y'all. Y'all are characters. The type of person you become is more important than your successes and failures in the world. We, as people in the world, people in the United States, we gauge success by, how much money do you make? What kind of job do you have? You know, that's how we gauge success so often. And yet, God is like, you're all messed up. That's not what success is. That is not how I've created you. I've created you before time began in Christ to do good works that I've already got. And I want you to grow. I want you to continue to get wisdom about what it means to be a part of the family of God. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Spirit produces in us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, whenever you read that list, is there anything on there that you're saying, I don't want that in my life? I don't want any, you know, is there any, do you not want love in your life? Do you not want joy in your life? How about peace? Do you want peace in your life? What do you think about kindness? Do you want kindness in your life? Do you want to be considered a kind person? What about a good person? Do you want to be considered a good person? When other people talk about you, that person is just a good person. What about faithful? Do you want others to see faithfulness in you? What about gentleness? You know? What about self-control? See, all of these things are things that God creates, and in terms of the Holy Spirit produces these character traits in us. Now, obviously, we don't have all of this in abundance because we got some people that's a little bit more ornery than others. We've got some people that's they're a little bit more kind than others. So we know that it is different in terms of how each person grows in the Holy Spirit. But the thing about it is that God says, these are the things that I will produce in you as long as you stick close to me. Have you ever noticed in your life that whenever you make a concerted effort to, Lord, I want to know more about you, so I'm going to read your word. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. I want to know you, so I'm going to pray more. I'm going to shut down the things in my life that are dead ends to me. I'm not going to watch the violence on TV or the violence in movies. I'm going to stop watching that. Or maybe I want to encourage others. And so, Lord, I want to be an encourager, but I know that I don't have that in me as much as I should. But you step out in faith that God is going to grow that encouraging attitude. You purpose in your life. And you ever notice how God just makes that blossom and grow? And then that you get away from it, you think, man, I don't know what we think. I think it's we just get lazy. But we stop doing those things. Maybe we stop reading our Bibles every day. Maybe we stop praying every day. Or maybe our prayers become stale and they're just recycled prayers. Maybe we're just in a rut. For whatever reason. And then you ever notice how all of a sudden God feels so far away? Even though we know that God is right there. He's no further than he ever was.
Guess who moved?
We move, right? That's right. So these character traits that God wants to produce in us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, those are things that God says, you stick close to me, all these fruits, they'll grow and grow and grow. You know, one of the things in the book of Revelation, just to kind of tie this in a little bit, is that it talks about along the river of life, it flows down kind of like Main Street in heaven. You got these trees that are the tree of life. You got them lining both sides of the river. And they are constantly producing 12 types of fruit year round, just constantly, constantly, constantly producing fruit. They're always full of one of 12 different fruits all year round. The trees are always green. They're always vibrant. They're always healthy. You know, there's no disease in heaven. You ever think about the water that's flowing from the throne of God that feeds this river? It goes down the main street of heaven. You ever think about what Jesus says? Come to me and drink. Get your fill. Drink until you can't drink no more. And then living waters will flow out of you. And it's going to water somebody else that's close to you. You ever think about that? That if you want to be watering people, that you want to be giving people what they really need. You know, we think, well, we really need food. We really need shelter. Those things are important. But what we really need is a touch from the Master. That's what we really need. And we need it every day. And we get so hungry. And we get so thirsty simply because we won't go to Jesus and say, Lord, fill me up. I'm opening up my mouth. I want you, I just want to drink you in. I just want to eat you up. I know that sounds kind of gauche to say it that way, but isn't that true? Lord, I just want to be so on fire. We don't say so on fire for you, but what I want really is I want this relationship that it is beyond my description. And if you've ever tasted it, if you've ever tasted that from God, just a little bit, you know that that's what you desire over all other things, that that's what we want. And God says, all you got to do is come and you got to continue just to talk to me. Read my word. I'll reveal myself to you in multiple ways. We're also created to spread the gospel. Larry, you're right. Did you already read through this before you said that? No, you just knew it because you're smart.
She, not like
him. A lot like the other Larry. Okay. Do you have a song that goes, I'm so smart? Do you sing that song?
No, but I'll have it next
time. One purpose in life is to tell others about Jesus' love for them. Psalm 96:3 says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples. Isaiah 12:4 says, make known among the nations what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, we read that, and I don't know about you, but I kind of get excited about it, but then I'm wondering, why don't I do it more? It kind of excites me just reading those three scriptures, those three verses. Then why am I not doing it more? I have to ask myself that. Randy, if you get a little tingle up your spine when you read that, and that makes you happy, then why do you not continue in that? Do you not think that you're going to get rewarded even more so by doing it? And the answer is yes. You know, whenever we minister, whenever we spread the gospel message, whenever we tell people, even other Christians amongst ourselves, when we share the scriptures, you know, with one another, does it not excite us when we hear the word of God that we just share amongst each other? And we're so afraid to take the word into a world that is so hungry for the word. They don't even know they're hungry for it. But if they would just sit and listen, their interest would be piqued. That's how it starts. You got my interest. You got my you know, I'm looking at you now. I'm hearing what you're saying. And it all comes down to, how do you present it? If I'm presenting it like, here's my big Bible. The Bible says that you're a sinner and you're going to hell.
I wouldn't say that to my mother.
That's not going to work for you, is it? But now, if I come up to you, to any of you, and I'm just bubbling over with, let me tell you about what God is doing in my life. What? You know, I'm talking about unbelievers. What? Oh, yeah, man. Let me tell you about what God just did just a few minutes ago. I guarantee you, you're going to get their attention. And it's not maybe what you're actually going to say, it's how you're presenting yourself. If you're excited, if you're on fire, Gene, if God has set your soul afire and you're excited and want to tell people, do we not want to share good news? Well, what better news is there is God loves you and he's made a way that you can live with him forever. Well, there's a song, and it goes, it makes me want to shout. You know the song? You know that song, right? Well, think about that when you share the gospel message. It makes me want to shout. That's more of a fellowship type tune. Yes, yes.
I took it to the neighbors and I said, is you in church that Sunday? and the neighbors across the street were visiting them. I just kind of interrupted a little bit, I guess. And they said, well, they gave an excuse or something. So I handed her that paper, and I said, well, tonight's subject was prayer. And, you know, we all need that. So I left.
Hey, that plants a seed.
Passed along and left the paper.
Yeah.
And don't you believe also, Brother Randy, that Christians glorify God a lot more than they think they are?
Absolutely.
That, yes. You know, and the more you jump on yourself, you say, well, you know, I need to do this more, is a good sign that you are glorifying God. And just the look or the smile or the hug or the, as I always bring up, with a child. With a child, Lord, please protect our children. And, watch those eyes just glisten, and that is glorifying God. Again, I would do a lot more for the kids that are getting mistreated if my wife could hold me down at the dinner table and in the supermarkets when they mistreat a kid.
Well, she don't want to see you in jail.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I appreciate that.
All right, let's look at this last page, and we'll finish up here. You were created to use the talents that God gave you. Did you know that everything that you have, all how you are, the talents? Yeah, by now you know this, right? You need to develop your gifts. Romans 12:4-8 says this, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, which would be preaching, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. When you read that, that has to make sense to you, right? That God is saying, I put something very specific inside of you, and you kind of identified as, well, that's just me. I've always been that way. I have this ability. Well, the ability is this gift that God gives, and God expects you to use the gift, to develop the gift that he's given you, whatever it may be, and to glorify him in the use of it. When we use it, we are glorifying God, and we need to use it more and more and more. And many people have multiple gifts. I mean, it's not just everybody has a gift. God has given gifts to every man as the Holy Spirit has been doling out gifts from Pentecost on. Well, I'll probably even be, well, I know before then, but I'll just use Pentecost as the example. From Pentecost on, the Holy Spirit has been giving gifts to men and women. If you're given something, should you not use it? Is it not an offense when you say, no, I've done this with Paula. Paula has given me a gift. I'm going to use a cuckoo clock as an example. Paula spent big bucks on a cuckoo clock from Germany, from Black Forest, I think. And she gave me this cuckoo clock, and I didn't really know how a cuckoo clock worked, okay?
You didn't realize what it was meant, the symbolism meant.
Well, that's a different story, Brother Larry. You're going down a different road here. Anyway, I took the gift, and I thanked her, and I really was happy to get it. And yet, I set the gift off to the side in my room. And it sat there for what?
Years.
Yeah, a couple, 3 years. I didn't know where I was going to put it, and I didn't really know how it worked. And so it's kind of like, there it is. And, you know, you can imagine Paula, every time she comes to the house, why is that clock still in the box in your room in the corner over there? She was not a happy camper with me, and for good reason. And I finally put the clock up, and it's wonderful. it cuckoos and things spin around and little woodman chops wood. And, I mean, it does all kind of neat stuff. If I'd only known. But instead, I took the gift and I put it away. Do we not do something similar with the gifts that God gives us?
We just need to be wound up.
You're on fire tonight, I tell you, right now. All right. Don't minimize your role. You know, that's another big thing that all Christians do. It's like, man, who am I in the great scheme of things? Let Larry do it all. Yeah. Let the other Larry do all the rest because they both have perfect brains and they're so smart. Let them do it. My, you know, my role is minimal. Let them be the big cheese. All right?
I come from almost 7.
Live life as an adventure wherever you are. All Christians collectively form the body of Christ, and the body is formed of many different parts. All are important, and it doesn't matter what part of the body you are. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 22-24, and that's from the Message. All right? Think about this. We minimize our role in life. And I don't know why we do that. God has created us for His glory. He's created us for Him to give, for us to give Him glory. He's created us for us to fulfill the purpose that we have been made. Good works that have been decided prior to us being born again. That sounds pretty important to me. That if the God that makes everything that you see, when you go out tonight and you look up into the sky and you see all the stars, if it's clear, and you see all the stars as far as you can see and wonder how far it really goes, God made all of it. You know, those stars that you see, a lot of them are bigger than the sun that we have, those stars. And there's a multiplicity, billions and billions of stars in a single galaxy, and there's billions and billions of galaxies in the universe. If God created all that splendor, all that wonderful stuff, and then He creates you, and He says specifically, I've created you in Christ Jesus to do good works that I've prepared in advance for you to do. Who are we to say, Lord, I'm the nobody, and yet, you'll see in prophets in the Bible, it's over and over and over. Who am I, Lord? I'm nobody. Get somebody else. Moses. Get somebody else to do it. That has to, I wouldn't say tick God off, but it has to hurt His heart when we minimize our role in His creation. Because we're just here on the earth for a blink. For a short period of time, and yet we can do such good when we are here. You have a choice, Christian. You can either sit soaking sour for all your life, and you're going to die and go to heaven, and then you're going to do whatever you're going to do. You're going to be living by sight, not by faith then. Or you can live your life starting today with what God has called you to do. And that's what's next week and the week after that is, how do I know what God has called me to do and how do I accept the calling? Let's finish up. You need to overcome jealousy or bitterness. Doesn't that shut us down in a hurry when we're jealous or bitter? Don't be upset if you do not have a place of prominence. For as far as you read in the above verse, God gives special honor to those who are less honorable roles. Do not downplay the value of what you do. Don't compare yourself to others or give up if someone seems to do a better job than you. Of course, there are others who have more talent. If all the evangelists or witnesses or teachers in the world decided to stop trying because someone else did a better job, where would we be? What counts is that you be faithful. God gave you talents and abilities, and he expects you to develop them. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word tonight. We ask, Father, that as you have impressed upon each person here, your message to them, that they take that, Father, and they do your work that you've called them to do. Father, we know that you empower us. If you call us, you empower us. Father, the small faith that we have, we ask that you help us to grow that faith, Father, little by little, and to use it as we grow. Lord, our church is small, but we can be a mighty beacon of light for you in this world. We ask in Jesus' name that you use us here at Vine Grove Baptist Church, each as an individual, but corporately as Vine Grove Baptist Church, to reach people, to help people, and to glorify you in all that we say, all that we do, all that we are. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.